Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Mavericks Metals. Trade on the TSX under the symbol MMX, also on the NYSE under that same symbol, MMX. We are chatting with the president of Mavericks Metals, Ryan McIntyre. Now, Ryan, it's been a couple months since we had you last on the show, so we're going to work through the recent news releases over the last couple months, starting with some of the more recent ones. Now, just in summary, really, ever since August, the company has come out with second quarter results and declared a quarterly dividend. You also increased your credit facility and entered into a gold stream and strategic partnership with Auramet, as well as increased and expanded a royalty at Omolon. Let's start with the most recent news release, October 18th. That is the increase and expansion of the royalty at Omolon. Now, Omolon is a wholly owned subsidiary of Polymetal International. The royalty initially acquired 2% back in 2019. That was acquired as part of a royalty portfolio acquisition from Kinross. Now you have increased this royalty to 2.5%. Just remind everybody, bring us up to speed on this Omolon royalty and now the increase of it to 2.5%, please.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, so just on the Omolon transaction we recently announced, so we originally acquired, as you mentioned, a 2% royalty on part of the Omolon hub, which is operated by Polymetal, which is an $8 billion mining company. And what's interesting about what we've just done is we basically gave Polymetal $23.5 million to increase the 2% royalty to 2.5%, but expand the area of interest where we have the royalty. So instead of just on two licenses, which was the original royalty, it's now on all 13 of the licenses that comprise the Omolon complex. And so it's a huge addition in terms of additional land package. And the other thing it really does is it really significantly increases the amount of gold equivalent ounces we get out of the royalty from about 2,000 gold equivalent ounces a year to about 5,000 gold equivalent ounces a year. So that's equivalent to about 10% of Maverick's entire revenue base right there in terms of growth from the transaction.
Yeah, Ryan, it's a significant asset and it's a significant producer and operator to have as a partner. Have they given you any indication as to how they plan on exploring, developing and growing that deposit so that over those 13 licenses, do you have any guidance from them on how they intend to grow it?
Yeah, actually, one of the more interesting things is that where we have the sort of, I guess, the new areas of the royalty is really where they're focused on growing. So one deposit actually just came online earlier this year called Bergali, and that's a high-grade deposit, sort of over 8 grams a ton gold on that one. And then the other key one is this property called Nevin Recon, where it's just discovered a few years ago, and it's extremely high-grade gold and silver. It ranges anywhere from kind of 9 to 13 grams a ton gold and from about 300 to 800 grams a ton silver. So those will be really the growth drivers of Omolon going forward. And those are now covered by the royalty, whereas previously they weren't covered at all by the 2% royalty.
Okay, let's move over to the September 27th news release. And that is where Mavericks acquired a gold stream and entered into a strategic partnership with Auramet. Take us through the strategic partnership first. What does that mean for the company to move forward?
Yeah, I guess, you know, one of the big things with this Auramet transaction is that, you know, what we've done over the past several months is we've really taken advantage of the relationships that we have in the business. And so if you look back even over the past year or so, we've done about $150 million worth of new acquisitions. And all four transactions that we've done were with existing groups where we already had existing relationships. So like Newmont, Pan American Silver, Polymetal, which we just talked about, and now Auramet. And what we're really ensuring that we do is we sort of structure our portfolio. We have sort of balanced pieces in the portfolio. So the Newmont and Pan American deals that we've done, those are more focused on near-term and long-term optionality. And the two recent deals, so we talked about the Omolon one already, and now the Auramet one, those are adding big and immediate cash flow to Mavericks. And so the partnership with Ormat is really just an extension of our relationship we developed with them a few years ago when we acquired two royalties from them in 2017. And so it just allows us to formalize, I guess, that, and then also acquire a 5,000 ounce a year gold stream from them, which should immediately increase Maverix's cash flow quite significantly by about over 15% per year. So pretty big deal.
What does that quantify in terms of cash in the bank then? You said that it increases fairly significantly the cash that's coming in. What are the estimates for that?
Yeah, so if you just use, you know, today's spot gold price for around $1,800 an ounce, that generates an extra $9 million of revenue. And we're paying an ongoing price of about 16% of the spot gold. So we're going to get about 84% of that. So about $7.5 million or so right to the bottom line for Mavericks. So huge increase. And we paid $50 million for that. And that'll continue for at least the next 10 years.
Well, Ryan, I want you to unpack for a second just what you had said in passing before about how you formed these strategic alliances with some of the larger companies like Pan American, like Newmont, like Polymetal. You've taken a different approach than some of the other royalty companies, kind of as a distinguisher, in that you're not just trying to pick off little deals here and little deals there. You've actually sometimes brought over whole baskets of royalties. So just talk to, you know, the overall strategy Mavericks has had and how you guys have gone about your royalty acquisitions.
Yeah, it's probably one of the key differentiators for Mavericks as a royalty company amongst our peers in the space, and why we have, you know, such large strategic shareholders such as Newmont, Pan American Silver, and Kinross on our share registry. You know, I think it is probably the thing that we're best known for. So we've acquired five major royalty portfolios since our inception over the past 5 years. So we've done two portfolios from Pan American, one from Gold Fields, and two from Newmont, and then one from Kinross as well. And basically the whole value proposition for Mavericks is twofold for some of these groups that are wanting to put in their portfolios in exchange for equity of Mavericks. And the first one is basically just a daylight value of those royalty portfolios from the majors portfolio. Because, you know, like a Newmont, for example, you know, they're such a large company and obviously their operating business is the core value driver of that business. And they basically have accumulated a bunch of royalties sort of along the way. And it's really kind of the side business that no one really focuses on and analysts or investors don't really give any value to. So if we can lift out value from that in exchange, you know, their royalties for shares of Mavericks, for example, then it can at least people can put a value on that and we can manage the royalties because that's our full-time job. We don't do anything other than manage the royalties. And the second step of that, too, in addition to just daylighting value, is actually increasing that value that we've just daylighted. And that's sort of the second prong effect is, you know, as we continue to scale the business of Mavericks, so we currently have 122 royalties and streams, 14 of them are currently paying market cap of about $700 million. And as we continue to scale that business, we hope to, you know, close the gap of multiples. So some of the larger royalty companies in our space traded at much higher multiple than we do. And if we can close that multiple gap while continuing to drive per share value from some of the things we acquired, we should get a substantial re-rate in our share price.
So another news release that really ties into your overall strategy of acquiring royalties, building these partnerships, was released on September 2nd, and that was amending and increasing the credit facility. The credit facility upsized from $120 million to $160 million. Now it's a four-year term. Take us through what this increase in the credit facility and some of the other amendments helps for the company to move forward with that ongoing corporate strategy.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you know, we really want to do just in any scenario is to have a lot of financial flexibility. So, you know, we've got no net debt as it currently stands, even after these two acquisitions, the Omalon and Ormat ones we just talked about. And I think part of that, you know, having that flexibility is to structure your available credit in the right way. So what we did was basically extended the term. We had a two-year term remaining on our $120 million credit facility. So we pushed that out to 4 years. And the other thing we did was obviously increased it from $120 million to $160 million. And we actually got a slightly lower rate than we did on the $120 million. So the rate is actually 1.875% to 3% plus LIBOR, or I guess some of the new, whatever the new benchmark is. And with that, you know, we have plenty of capacity to do additional deals. So if we see something that we like, then we have the financial flexibility to do it. And that in combination with our existing cash flow from our assets, we have plenty of capacity and over $160 million of firepower to do other deals as it stands today.
Yeah, Ryan, just gives you some nice optionality to do more deals or make more acquisitions. So nice to see that. Kind of tying all of this back to the financials of the company and the strength of the royalty model, let's take a look back at the quarter two results. For the, you've also introduced a quarterly dividend, which is a pretty exciting update for the company. But on August 12th, you mentioned you had revenue of $14.3 million. Your gold equivalent ounces sold 7,880 and an average cost per gold equivalent ounce of $197, which is a pretty good margin that you have there, a cash margin of 89%. So just walk us through some of the big takeaways from the Q2 results and some of the partner updates that you feel like mentioning.
Yeah, no, so solid quarter that we had in Q2. You know, we generated about 7,900 gold equivalent ounces in the quarter, which translates to just over $14 million in revenue. And I think, as you point out, the one important thing to note with royalty companies, and certainly us included, is just the high margin nature of the business. So our cash operating margins were just under 90%, and that has remained stable basically throughout our entire history. And we expect that to very much continue going forward. So I think it's particularly important during these times of inflation that we've got, you know, high margins and they're stable margins at that, just given the model. And I guess from our perspective, you know, we remain well on track to meet guidance that we've put out there. And we'll probably look to update that when we release our Q3 results in the next couple of weeks, just to account for the acquisitions we just talked about. But yeah, no, everything's going well. You know, revenue is sort of up 30% year over year. And that typically translates into a similar or higher number on a cash flow level. And so when you look at that, in combination, we talked about our strong balance sheet and available credit. We've got plenty of capacity on that front. And I think probably a couple of the biggest updates, at least in Q2, were the expansion announcement at the Beta Hunt asset, where we've got a 4.75% gold royalty. And they're basically looking to double that that mine. And when you look at what that translates into for Mavericks, you're talking about a 10 to 15% increase in revenue just from that one alone. And then the other thing that happened in Q2 was the PEA, preliminary economic assessment, that was released by Montage Gold on the Kone project, where we have a 2% royalty. And they basically put out a projection showing that the project could produce about 200,000 ounces of gold for 15 years. And so if you look at that in, you know, 2% royalty terms, you know, you're talking about 4,000 gold equivalent ounces a year, which is over 10% growth to our current revenue base. And, you know, if you add up the 15 years, you're talking about $100 million of cash flow to Mavericks. And so that continues to progress very nicely. And we'll have the feasibility study out in Q1 here coming up. So a lot of exciting things actually going on in the portfolio itself, just from an organic growth perspective as well. So we've done, I guess, some recent acquisitions, and there's some organic stuff that's brewing in the portfolio as well.
So Ryan, can you summarize some of the near-term growth then? It seems like a lot of investors are really focused on cash flow and how that cash flow is growing. The company has a lot of royalties, and you have a lot of paying royalties, actually. 14 in total out of 122 total precious metals royalties and streams. Where is that near-term growth going to come from? Just summarize that, please.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, we've got plenty of things in the portfolio that are going to add to our growth profile, and that's all organic. And, you know, I just talked about the Beta Hunt expansion, so that'll add about 10 to 15% on our current revenue base. The more notable thing coming up, I guess, in Q4 is going to be the startup of the Camino Rojo project, where we've got a 2% royalty, and that'll add about 7% to our current revenue base. And then actually just looking forward to Q1, we're actually looking forward to the restart decision potentially at the Silvertip mine, which is operated by Coeur Mining. And so we've got a 2.5% royalty there, and that would add about 10% or so to our revenue base to the extent that that were to come online. And I guess one other thing that you know, that's happened, or I guess over the past year, is the transition of the Hope Bay mine from TMAC Resources to Agnico Eagle when they acquired it earlier this year. And they've been talking about an expansion there. So it's currently running at about 80,000 ounces a year. And if you look at their public disclosure, they're talking about ramping it up to about 250 to 300,000 ounces a year. And we've got a 1% royalty on that. So that would add sort of another 5 to 7% additional revenue. And those are just things that are very near term. And you've got other things that can add up very quickly over the next several years.
All right, Ryan, before we wrap it up, I want you to kind of take a step back. How do you want investors to view Maverix Metals in what is now a more crowded royalty space? You guys are not the small royalty company, but you're also not one of the major royalty companies. You are generating some nice cash flow. You do have multiple paying assets, but again, there's a lot more royalty companies in the space right now. Where do you want people to view Maverix?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. There's certainly more royalty companies in the space, and that's not surprising, I think, given how good the business model is and how many opportunities there are. But I think what people should take away with Maverix is that, you know, A, I think we've got a great existing base portfolio. So we've got great current cash flow. We've got near and midterm growth, but we also have long-term optionality as well. And I think the key for us, we're only focused on royalties and streams. We don't do anything else. And moreover, if you like gold and silver, we're definitely it, because 99% of our revenue comes from gold and silver. And so, you know, just continue to see us do the same thing. You know, we view ourselves as a well-diversified group, and I wouldn't anticipate kind of anything crazy coming out of us. Everyone should know what to expect. If you just look at our past, that's what we plan to do in the future. And I think we're at a nice size where, you know, any incremental growth percentage-wise is a huge deal for us. And we can still execute that just based on our size.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much for the recap and really going through the last couple of months of news releases here, Ryan. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Also, feel free to share with us your thoughts on the company, what attracts you, and what also you are wondering about. And Ryan, keep us up to date on future news. Would be good to have you back on a bit more regularly to keep everybody up to date as the company continues to sign deals and grow revenue. Ryan, thanks as always for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks a lot. You too.